Now we're going to have a look at policing because it came up on questions on policy or legislation earlier on. It also came up, policing statements on policing were made yesterday and indeed more of them today. But on that section of business on legislation, questions on policy or legislation, there was an exchange between Mary Lou McDonald, Sinn Féin leader, and Taoiseach Micheál Martin. Let's hear from what they say, of what had both of them had to say. The subject brought up by Mary Lou McDonald was bail.
Figures have been released that make for a very, very shocking reading. They reveal that suspects in 40,348 crimes carried out in 2024 were out on bail. That represented an increase of 5,000, the figure for 2020 on the figure for 2022. And Taoiseach, astonishingly, the combined figure for the past 3 years of suspects implicated in crime while out on bail amounted to 114,655.
Mary Lou McDonald, they're bringing it up. Taoiseach Micheál Martin had this reply.
I think we have to focus in on those who have a history of crime, and who are again brought before the system. And the bail laws have been reformed. They're going to be reformed further. Minister Callan is looking at this. But there are limits to what can be done, as I'm sure you would appreciate. We've no issue. We want to stamp down on crime. We're very intolerant of people committing crime while out on bail. But you can't have a wholesale system where everybody who's suspect gets locked up.
Micheál Martin finishing off there. Sarah McGuinness, this is today was the second day also of statements on policing. So give us a flavour of what we've heard over the last 2 days, the recurring themes.
Yeah, well, there's been a couple, a lot of kind of focus on Garda numbers, in particular the Garda numbers in Dublin versus the versus more rural communities was a particular theme across today. The issue of bail, the issues of, I suppose, systemic issues within the An Garda Síochána. I'm not sure if this was discussed yesterday, but Alan Kelly had quite a fascinating contribution in relation to
the holsters.
The holsters, yeah. He actually brought in one of the kind of defunct holsters that had allegedly been destroyed by March 2023, saying he could still get his hands on them. He brought forward new evidence on, what he believed was new evidence on the murder of Garda Detective Colm Horkin, basically saying that, you know, his holster wasn't examined and it was one of the ones that was not fit for purpose. Some really fascinating insights there. While not all of the, I suppose, contributions were as combative of that and as kind of as revealing as that, there were definitely still, you know, really fascinating, you know, themes surrounding Garda numbers, legislation on crime, and I suppose kind of how that's being penalised. I suppose this is also occurring on the backdrop of knife crime being very prevalent in recent weeks. So that was mentioned a couple of times as well. I think something that's really fascinating just to say as well is it's been really interesting seeing how different parties are adapting to the issue of crime and policing in recent weeks, because obviously Jim O'Callaghan and Fianna Fáil made it known that they wanted to be in there and they wanted to be the ones to crack down on this during the general election campaign. And in the reshuffles of the front benches on the opposition, there has been kind of, from what I can see, very kind of strategic placements, I suppose, to try and get people in who, I suppose, it kind of looks like from the outside, who could challenge Jim O'Callaghan, who could potentially wind him up. There's Matt McCarthy in there for Sinn Féin. There's Gary Gannon in there for the Social Democrats. There's Alan Kelly in there for Labour. So it's quite interesting to see how those individuals are really trying to get across their beat now. And Matt McCarthy, for example, his team in the Dáil are asking parliamentary questions whereby a TD can ask a question of a minister to beat the band. He has tens in every day, and that's where those figures came from. So they're really trying to kind of put the pressure on this, seemingly.
Okay, well, let's go back to those bail figures. Paul Lawless, the number of people, they discussed the number of people who were out in bail, or they revealed how many people are out on bail at the moment, and that's around 40,000 people. Are those figures useful if we don't have further detail on what they're on bail for and, you know, what they're accused of?
Yeah, look, it's a massive jump, 5,000 in 1 year. But you're right. Like I don't know the detail of the particular issues that are happening. But what we do know and what we're sure of is that crime is rising year on year, continues to rise. Most recently, burglaries up 10%. Total burglaries last year was 10,000. Theft offences are also on the rise. Organised crime is rising, 20% increase in shooting. And while all of this is happening, Garda numbers are actually falling. For example, in Mayo, in my own constituency, Mayo has received just one new Garda recruit over the past 3 years. And, you know, this is a major issue. And the reason why we can't retain and recruit Gardaí, as I said today in the Dáil, is because of the pay and conditions have been deteriorating for some time.
All right. And we'll come back and Garda numbers, and I will come back to that. But on the bail issue, Michael Fitzmaurice, what did you make of those figures?
I think it's alarming, but the reality of it is we don't have prison spaces. If you look at the prison spaces at the moment, it's there. Most prisons are actually over the numbers of what they actually can hold, if you look at the official figures. We need to basically build more prisons. Some of that stuff may be, a person could be out in bail for different reasons.
Yeah, well, because the figures, just at the end of them, it does give some insight into what people... were committed by offenders on bail. The most common offence types committed by offenders on bail, this is where people do commit a crime out, are public order and drunkenness, theft from a shop, simple possession, that relates to drugs. So public order and drunkenness makes up for 25% of offences that are committed by people on bail, theft from a shop, 23%, simple possession, 6%, and criminal damage, 5%. So about 60% of crimes that are committed by people on bail.
Yeah, but there's 40% more that we don't know about.
And, yeah, which are broken down into individual
and
small
categories. The big
problem
is there's some of them that's repetitive. And it's a fair kick in the teeth to Gardaí that go to the trouble, because there is a lot of paperwork and going through the system. And those Gardaí that catch someone that might have 10, 20, how many offences, some of them, and it's the door revolves because they get bail. And I think we need to tighten on that, okay, because it's not acceptable.
We'll come back to the other issues, but chap, on the bail issue there, what's your reaction to those figures?
First of all, you said that everybody has the right to feel safe in their home and in their community. That's a right that should be provided to everybody. And just in relation to the figures that were produced today, over 40,000, just to be very clear, there's a little bit of a misinterpretation or misrepresentation by Sinn Féin. It's 40,000 offences, not 40,000 people. Just very, very important to note that. And as you mentioned, a lot of those are so-called, inverted commas, mild offences, road traffic, public disorder, etc. And a lot of those people would have multiple offences. I'm not saying it's right, but a lot of those people would have multiple offences. A lot of them would be suffering from addiction, etc. They could have 20, 30, 40 offences. So again, I'm not justifying it for any stretch of the imagination, but it's 40,000 offences as opposed to 40,000 people. And a lot of those would have multiple offences and have other challenges ongoing as well, just to be very clear on that.
All right. Paul Lawless, you were talking about Garda numbers there. So what do you think is the biggest single issue? I mean, if people want to see Garda,
I think pay is a major issue. I think conditions, and what I mean by that is the increasing layer of bureaucracy that's happening in the Garda force. Like, for example, people join the guards to be out in the beat, to try and crack down on crime, to keep communities safe. And that has been eroded. Proactive community policing over many, many years has been eroded. And what's happening is the regular Garda units are being depleted, and we are tying guards up in knots behind screens. And that's what's happening when you talk to them. I spoke to one guard recently. He said, I spend more time behind a computer doing administration than I do trying to catch someone. And if I don't do it, I'll have the boss calling me in.
Yeah.
Calling me in, he'll get the curly finger in to see him because he hasn't paperwork. And it may be funny, but it's very serious.
It's the way you tell it.
And the other point about this, and I think this is an important point. I met the Garda Commissioner in Mayo County Council a few months ago before the general election. And I asked him a simple question. And I thought he'd have a simple answer. I asked him, what happened in senior management of an Garda Síochána after the vote of no confidence. And the vote of no confidence happened in the Garda Síochána in 2023.
Well, it was but the Garda Representative Association.
That's right, but it was an overwhelming 98% of the rank and file Gardaí voted no confidence in the commissioner. And they voted no confidence because of the serious issues in the force, which is resulting in a serious lack of morale.
Right.
And the Garda commissioner, Cullum, was unable to tell me one thing. Nothing had changed. No review in relation to what happened. It was business as normal. And the leader of Fianna Fáil came out and said the teachers don't get to choose their principal. Okay, well the guards won't get to choose their commissioner. And it's business as normal. And now we're in a situation where we're wondering why no one wants to join the guards.
Okay, well, you're giving us one side of that conversation. The Garda commissioner may have a different view of what transpired. But on the Garda numbers issue, Michael Fitzmaurice, what's the proposal to change the situation?
Well, first of all, our document or our policy document, if you looked what we put in €600 a month for rent, because however bad it is in some parts of the country, if a guard has to come to Dublin or most of the cities, the cost of rent alone at the wages they're on, it wouldn't attract you. You have to be able to live. And in fairness, you know, I was talking to a guard the other day that's trying to buy a house in the north side of Dublin, or actually an apartment. A two-bed at 420 or 30,000. My God, like, you know, we have to... Our frontline services needs protection. Our frontline services needs the help, be it subsidised for renting. And we done it from, I think, off the top of my head, was from 22 to 30. And for the Garda, it would cost something like 42 or 3 million a year.
You're talking about, is that limited to the guards alone? Is that a special category of frontline services?
We talked about all frontline workers. Right. I'm talking about the figure for the Garda. But if we don't do that, we are going to struggle to get it. Because I'll give you the facts. There is other alternative jobs that people can go into closer to their home that isn't as dangerous, and that they'll be able to maybe live at home, and it will cost them less and they'll be able to survive. But at the moment, we have a crisis on frontline services of getting people to go to different parts of the country, to be quite frank about it.
The figures that were released during the week, CSO said burglaries up. You've seen, you've heard the issue about Garda numbers as well. What's your view on it?
Yeah, look, we have a population in this country of 5.3 million with 14,100 Garda numbers. It's not enough. We need more. And in the programme for government, we've specifically mentioned out a specific figure of 5,000 additional Gardaí to be added in. In my own constituency, Carrick-Kilkenny, our numbers have dropped by 10% in the last 4 years. It's not acceptable. It's not good enough. And the one thing, and I'm sure the lads can speak for themselves, but what's coming to me loud and clear on the streets when I meet people and when I engage with them is they want visibility. They want to be able to see their guards on the street, on the beat, because that makes them feel safe.
Yeah.
And whilst the new recruitment campaign was hugely successful, by the way, it's massively oversubscribed. Now, what numbers from the applications actually transmit into actual new Gardaí coming on the beat is another thing. But it was hugely, I suppose, massively oversubscribed, as I said. But what I really want to see happening as a rural TD is to make sure that all of these recruits don't just go into Dublin. Yes, we've issues in Dublin, no problem at all. But come down to my constituency in Carrick-Kilkenny, where we're 10% less now than we did 4 years ago. So there needs to be a good regional balance to Paul's constituency, to Michael's constituency as well.
All right.
And I'll be fighting very, very hard for that.
Can I say one thing?
Very briefly, because we get on to other things.
Chap said that it's oversubscribed. What's oversubscribed if we need 5,000 Gardaí? Because we have to remember, we have the
over
highest number of retirements going to happen in the next 5 years, if you go back the years that they started. And in my opinion, like, this word of oversubscribe should not be used. If we can get them, we take them on and get the budget.
What I mean by oversubscribed, just to be very clear, is that some people will apply and they might not fit the criteria in terms of the
very, very briefly. Okay.
But it was significantly oversubscribed, and it wouldn't be my place to take the thunder on Jim O'Callaghan when he goes to announce it.
The issue of rural policing is a major issue. You mentioned you want to see more guards in rural Ireland.
100%.
I do as well. And the point about it is this, that what's happening is that the Templemore graduates are being sent to Dublin. And there is a significant amount of transfer requests, D19 applications in from people from Roscommon, from Mayo, Donegal, that are looking for relocations back to the West. And as Michael mentioned, they can't afford to live in Dublin.
Okay.
But let me finish on
Those D19
applications are not going to wait for too much longer. Okay. And they'll leave the Gards. That's what's going to happen.
I'm going to go to the listeners. Speaking of Gardaí being stuck behind computers, says Joe by text. Same with nurses on wards and hospitals. Teachers bogged down with reports, etc. After teaching, it goes on and on, says Joe, who says that's ridiculous. And in 17 years of living at the heart of Dublin in Found Street, I never saw a Garda sergeant or higher officer on foot patrol in the city centre except on high profile events such as annual parades, etc. The young guards from Templemore have no on the beat role models to take an example of, says another texter there who hasn't given their name. We're going to be back we'll be back in a minute, and we'll have a look at the visit to the White House.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.